Cleopatra's Legacy. The Enduring Struggle, Chapter 7, Incompatible Paths. Last time on Cleopatra's Struggle, Cleopatra, immersing herself in the ancient wisdom of the mystery schools, her vision of a future Egypt beginning to take shape, a land not ruled by force, but guided by spirit. Yet even as she embraced her role as the spiritual mother of her people, the shadow of Apophis grew darker, his voice a constant reminder of the cosmic battle that lay ahead. In the heart of Alexandria, Cleopatra and Mark Antony stand together, the tension between them palpable. The armies are ready, but the battle between them is not one of swords, but of purpose. The queen says in a calm yet firm voice, "Mark Antony, you are a great warrior, but our paths, they are diverging." And Mark Antony, confused yet concerned, says, "And what do you mean, Cleopatra? We fought side by side and won battles together. Why would you say this?" "Because my battle is no longer with Rome or preserving the wealth or status of Egypt. The battles that we fight now, at least in my heart and soul, concern an enemy that's far greater and far darker."
"And you believe I cannot stand with you against this force?" And Cleopatra says, "It is not a matter of strength, Mark Antony. It is a matter of purpose. Your strength lies in the physical, in the might of Rome. But my strength, it must lie elsewhere."
The realization dawns on Mark Antony, the understanding that the woman he loves is fighting a battle that he cannot truly join, a battle that requires a different kind of strength. "Then you must do what you feel is right, Cleopatra. But know this, I will stand by you, even if our paths are not the same." "Thank you, my love. I will never forget your loyalty." Cleopatra then took the conversation in new directions. "The realm of Egypt, it is vast. Its beauty is unmatched. Its wealth is beyond compare. But what does it mean if none of it endures?" Mark Antony, leaning forward, is clearly frustrated. "Endure? Cleopatra, look around you. This is real. This palace, this land. The armies that march in your name. If I can't touch it, if I can't feel it, then how could whatever you're fighting for, whatever your purpose is, how could that purpose be real? How can anything matter more than this which we can touch?" Cleopatra says, "Wars come and go, and empires rise and fall. But the spirit is eternal. It is what gives rise to all of this," she gestures around. "It gives it meaning. Without spirit, what is the worth of a single day as an emperor?" There's a silence, followed only by the crackling of a distant torch. Mark Antony's incredulous. "But you say you love me, Cleopatra. Can you show me that love? Can you make it physical, tangible? You have all this, and yet you speak of things unseen, things I can't even hold in my hands. Aren't you squandering all you have here?" And Cleopatra, firm with conviction, says, "Anything that isn't enduring, what is it worth, Antony? If a man were to be emperor for just one day, should he celebrate that day? Or should he seek something that might last beyond the fleeting moments of power?" Mark Antony stands abruptly, the sound of his chair scraping against the floor. "So you would forsake all of this, all that we have, for something invisible? Something I can never truly understand?" And Cleopatra, gently stepping closer, says, "I would forsake it for what endures, Antony, for what gives us meaning beyond this life,
beyond these walls. Can you not see that? A heavy silence lingers between them. And in that silence, the chasm between their worlds grows. For in the pursuit of power and love, they find themselves at odds with the very essence of what it means to live, to rule, and to endure. For Cleopatra, this spirit is eternal. For Mark Antony, the tangible is undeniable. And in this chamber, as in life, the two may never fully reconcile. But their love may just be the bridge that endures. That evening, there are sounds of chaos throughout the streets of Alexandria and beyond. Shouts, the clashing of swords, and fires crackling. The city descends into chaos. The cult of Apophis strikes again, their forces spreading fear and destruction through the streets. Cleopatra, determined and commanding, says, "Mark Antony, lead your forces to defend the city. I will face the darkness that guides them." "Are you sure?" "Cleopatra, you must be careful." The Queen of the Nile moves through the darkened streets, her mind focused on the presence she feels closing in, Apophis, the ancient serpent, the corrupter of souls. She knows he is close when there is a low hum beginning to build, a dark presence growing about her. "You cannot stop me, Cleopatra. I am the shadow in every heart, the darkness in every soul." And Cleopatra, steady and unyielding, says, "You may corrupt, but you will not conquer, not while I stand against you." The hum intensifies, the presence of Apophis looming over her. "I have walked the earth for eons, and I will see it drawn in despair. Your defiance is futile." "Then it will be a futile fight that Egypt and I wage, Apophis, but fight we will." There is a sudden burst of light, and the hum shatters. With a surge of inner strength, Cleopatra pushes back the darkness, her spirit shining brightly in the night. The cultists falter their connection to Apophis, weakened by Cleopatra's defiance. As dawn breaks over Alexandria, the city begins to calm, but within the palace, a different kind of battle is reaching its conclusion. Mark Antony, softly and with a mixture of resignation and affection, says, "Cleopatra, the city is secure for now, but I see that our future together is not." And Cleopatra, sorrowful but resolute, says, "Mark Antony, our paths were never meant to last beyond these battles. You fight for Rome, for power, and I must fight for something beyond the mortal realm, beyond the reach of any empire." And Mark Antony says, "I can see that now, but that doesn't make things any easier." Cleopatra says, "No, it does not, but know this. I will always honor what we have, what we shared. You have been a loyal ally, and for that I am most grateful." "And I, Cleopatra? I, in turn, will always respect the courage you've shown. Even though I cannot follow you where you're going, I will stand by your decisions." The weight of their parting hangs in the air, a silent acknowledgement that their paths have diverged irrevocably. "Egypt needs more than a ruler, Mark Antony. It needs a protector of its spirit, a guide for its soul," Cleopatra says. "That is where my destiny lies." "Then go, Cleopatra. Walk the path you were meant to walk, but know that Rome will always be there to support Egypt, even if our paths no longer cross." But to forsake all of this for something that you cannot even see. And with that, Mark Antony is surrounded by the shadows of his doubts and suddenly experiences a divine vision. And it is a vision that will change his perspective, his understanding of power forever. An ethereal light fills the space in the chamber, the sound of a gentle breeze, the only accompaniment. What's this? A resonant calm voice begins to speak. It is serene and quiet with authority. Behold, Mark Antony, you see me now, but I will soon walk the earth. In time I will change the world, not by the sword, but through the spirit.
How could this be? Mark Antony says. And the figure says gently,
what you see is the beginning. My name will endure beyond empires, beyond time, beyond Rome. Remember this moment, for it is the dawn of a new era. The vision fades, leaving only Mark Antony's ragged breathing.
And as the light fades, he is left forever changed, having glimpsed the true power that will shape the world. And with that, Mark Antony, a man of war, power, and ambition, finds himself touched by the eternal. Though he will never see the miracles to come, he leaves with a newfound respect for the enduring spirit and the divine mysteries that lie beyond his reach.